This is Dealing with Imposter Syndrome, a Remaking You file, spoken by Elswyth. I want you to play a game of Let's Pretend. We will see what a fantastic imagination you have. So, could you pretend that you are a snowman? You're in a garden, perhaps your own back garden or backyard, and it's a cold winter day. Christmas is just around the corner, and you can see the colored lights in the house over there. Can you see the lights? What color are they? Good. And you're standing here in the garden with a bright orange carrot for a nose, two pieces of coal for your eyes and pebbles for your mouth. The wind is blowing and snowdrops are falling, but you're a beautiful snowman, so the cold doesn't bother you. You stand here all winter, watching the children play. But a few months go by and the weather is now becoming warmer, and the sun comes out. The sky is a beautiful blue, and as you feel the warmth on your body, you begin to melt, melting away, just melting down until you become a lovely puddle of warm water. And the seeds blow with the breeze and settle right down at the bottom of the puddle and take root. After a while, you begin to grow into a big, strong tree with beautiful leaves and perhaps even lots of fruit. Your roots are deep in the ground. You're so strong that when the winds of the spring come, your branches just sway from side to side, swaying gently from side to side. You are such a big, strong, beautiful tree. And you will stand here for hundreds and hundreds of years. And even trees can go to sleep. Imagine now that you're going deep inside your trunk, into your roots. You go down and down and deeper down. That's right. Going right down into your roots. From here, you can see all the weird and wonderful life going on in the soil. Bright and colorful creatures scurrying about their everyday life. Beautiful glowworms breaking down the soil for you. There is a colony of ants bringing their food down into the soil. They mix up the soil and enrich it with new nutrients. And you marvel at the way they communicate with each other, using smells or chemicals and vibrations, as well as sound. There are insects with large and colorful wings, and some with nearly 100 legs. Did you know? There are over 1 million species of insects living down here and as a tree. You can marvel at the quality of life that you have never experienced as a person. You can hear the male crickets singing their song to entice females. See earthworms tunneling through the soil. Most of the creatures here owe their survival to the earthworm. Did you know that this magnificent creature has 5 hearts? Go deeper now, down and down, to the very center of the earth. Imagine a beautiful circle of light all around you, and you wonder at how the light got here when there is no sun. But then you accept that things aren't always what they seem. dream a beautiful dream, and in a few moments, I'm going to be talking to you about a problem that you're going to resolve. But you don't need to listen to me. Just enjoy your dream and allow your subconscious mind to hear and act on the suggestions that I make. As you rest here in this comfortable place within your deeper mind, allow yourself to be aware only of my voice, and allow my voice to guide you on an unconscious level to a place where you can objectively view the reality of your situation. It is not always easy to see how we are perceived by others when we are at the center of our own awareness. But when we take a step back, sometimes it is possible to notice the qualities that those people who are involved in our achievements, notice the qualities that they admire about us. I know that you feel plagued by an inner feeling that you don't really deserve your achievements, and sometimes worry that you may be a fraud who will be exposed one day. Yet, it is clear that those who have helped you on your way, or the people who keep you at your elevated position, think otherwise, else you wouldn't be where you are now. You may feel that you don't deserve to be where you are, but the fact is, you are there. Others recognize a certain quality in you and have rewarded you for it. They see you as efficient and highly skilled. They see you as someone with knowledge, and they respect you for that. Wherever you are in your life right now, you have reached this position through sheer determination and hard work. Maybe you don't agree that you worked hard to get where you are, but remember, you started from scratch, just as everyone learning new skills has to do. Some people learn quickly and easily, and others may struggle to understand basic concepts. In order to be where you are now, you most likely belong in the former category. Perhaps you feel that you have to prove your worth to others or yourself. You may even find yourself inwardly trying to justify your thoughts or actions in case they are challenged. Although rationally you know that no one is likely to challenge you in this way. But feelings and emotions are not often rational. It seems that you cannot help yourself from experiencing that type of self-doubt. For example, you may be someone who needs to make important decisions at work or in life generally. If so, you're probably required to evaluate facts and figures, probabilities, and so much more. Just think about this for a moment. No one can accurately predict what will happen in the future. And the fact is that others are probably very reluctant to take on the responsibility of even attempting to do so. Someone has to make those decisions, and this someone is probably you, really. It may as well be you, especially if you've studied or worked to get where you are. Of course, it could be other people who make those decisions, and if so, what is to say that their decisions will be right? Nearly everyone, if they're honest, will admit to feelings of self-doubt. In fact, as you know, the feelings have become so common that this condition is widely known as the imposter syndrome. The imposter syndrome encompasses feelings that are common to many human beings and are prevalent across race, nationality, age, and gender. People suffering from this often feel as though everyone else knows everything. But what they often don't realize is that deep down, other people don't know everything. And in many cases, they will know a lot less than you do. We all privately doubt ourselves, but we believe we're alone in thinking that way because no one else voices their doubts. Even Albert Einstein, one of the greatest scientists of all time, suffered from imposter syndrome, describing himself as someone whose work didn't deserve as much attention as it received. He claimed that his theory of relativity was inspired by a dream. And in this dream, he was hurtling down a mountainside. He sped faster and faster, and when he looked up to the sky, he noticed how the stars altered in appearance as he approached the speed of light. And I want you to come with me on a similar journey, a journey deep into the realms of your wonderful subconscious mind. Instead of hurtling down the mountainside, I want you to find yourself floating gently down and down into a beautiful place with blue skies and soft white clouds. Below, you can see carpets of grass on the sweet-scented meadows and ornate picture box buildings and manicured gardens with exotic plants and borders that smell divine. Picture this scene in your mind. Make it real and as vivid as it can possibly be. Experience this scene in the way that works for you. It may be the scent, the sight, or the feeling. Good. As you float further down, perhaps you will notice clusters of pink cherry blossom trees scattered here and there. When you reach the bottom of the mountain, you feel as though you've landed on soft, feathery cushions, and you take a look around at your surroundings. To one side of you is a beautiful turquoise lake, bordered with tall bamboo plants that throw shade over the pastel-colored water lilies. These lilies that float elegantly on top of the still lake. Do you see those in your mind? Allow the images to begin to form clearly as I'm quiet for a moment or two. That's good. And you are still feeling very comfortable and relaxed as you notice that close by is a temple carved out of wood and intricately patterned. From the steps of the temple, you're greeted by an old monk who is wearing a long purple robe. His hands are together, as though in prayer, and he slowly and steadily walks over to where you now are resting. You begin to rise, but the monk bows his head, and with his hands still in prayer position, he beckons you to remain on the cushions. He notices how you admired the bamboo plants and explains how the bamboo needs plenty of nurturing. If you're a gardening enthusiast, you may already know that bamboo requires fertile soil, sunshine, and water. And in the first year of growth, there is no visible sign of activity. In the second, third, and fourth year, still, nothing seems to grow. And yet, in the fifth, a miracle happens, and in just a few weeks, the bamboo suddenly shoots up until it's higher than the monk. The monk explains that during its first 4 years, the bamboo was developing a strong, unseen foundation. And had it not done so, it couldn't have sustained its life as it grew. He then bows his head once again before offering you a bowl from which you take a drink. You lift the bowl up to your lips and take a sip of this delicious, sweetly fermented liquid. And you're feeling very deeply and comfortably relaxed, quite sleepy and very happy. And you look at this person that you've created in your mind. You realize that he or she represents your own inner wisdom and has many secrets and stories to share. Your mind is open and receptive to new ways of thinking and feeling, and you see now the monk is both male and female. Anima and animus that symbolize the collective unconsciousness. You feel a gentle breeze in the air as butterflies flit by, landing momentarily on nearby flowers before flying off and dancing and interweaving in the air. Breaking the silence, you become aware of distant music in the air, and a soft voice begins to rhythmically speak. You're not sure whether the voice belongs to the monk, or to anima or animus or the butterfly. It could even be the murmuring of the afternoon unfolding its story. You may already know the story. Many stories from the collective unconsciousness are known at a deeper level. You don't even need to make sense of its meaning. Your unconscious mind will do it for you. In a folk story, there was once a young, handsome fisherman called Taro. Taro knew the names of all the animals and beasts in his kingdom and was kind to all who he met. Taro was looked up to, loved, and respected by everyone who knew him. But deep inside, he felt unworthy of all that love and respect. "Who am I?" Taro would ask himself. "To be treated so well. I still have so much to learn and must prove to myself and my friends that I am worthy of them." He didn't voice his doubts, so no one but he knew how he felt. And he continued his job as a fisherman, providing for the villagers in his usual way, all that was gratefully received. A small group of children in Taro's village had heard their parents and friends singing the praises of Taro, and one day, they decided to follow him to the beach. At the beach, his boat lay hidden in the shade of the bamboo. The children watched as Taro went to prepare his boat for his expedition. The children were strong, young swimmers, so as Taro prepared his boat, they waded into the sea to swim around in the warm, shallow water. A turtle was swimming to the shore, waiting to greet Taro as it always did. The children saw the great turtle. And as you know, children can often be impulsive, and they began teasing and frightening the turtle, prodding it with canes from uprooted bamboo. The turtle cried out, and Taro heard its cries and raced over to rescue his friend. The children quickly hurried back to their families, and the turtle was so grateful that it carried Taro to a mythical underwater dragon palace, where he was warmly welcomed and entertained by the beautiful princess of the court. For a while, Taro lived in luxury and opulence, and all his mental and physical needs were met. But deep inside, he felt that he didn't deserve all these wonderful treasures. He no longer needed to fish, but Taro helped run the palace, overseeing many important tasks, such as arranging guardianship for the palace's secret treasure, and overseeing the meetings between the elders. Taro was truly appreciated by all who worked for him, but he couldn't get over the feeling that he didn't deserve his position at the palace. He felt that he was a fraud and that the old king and the elders, who had lived in the palace all their lives, knew so much more than him and would one day expose him for what he was. Years went by, and Taro's self-doubts played on his mind until they eventually drove him to desire to return to his own family and people. The princess begged Taro to remain, but she couldn't bear to see him unhappy, so she gave Taro a jeweled box as a token of her everlasting love. To be entrusted with this box was a great honor, as Taro knew the elixir of life depended on the safekeeping of his beautiful container and its contents. The princess knew of Taro's self-doubt as she placed her finger to his lips as they parted, whispering to him, "You are as you are. Do not open the box under any circumstances." The sea turtle was summoned to the palace to carry Taro and the jeweled box back to his home on the land. They traveled over the ocean and rose out of the warm water soon after to breathe in the warm afternoon air. On the journey, sea dragons and sharks tried to steal the box, but Taro held it close to his heart until he spotted an island which he recognized as his homeland. When he arrived in his village, Taro was shocked to see that everything had changed. The turquoise lake with its bamboo and lilies had been replaced by monstrous buildings. The temple was gone, and in its place was an ugly shopping district crowded with strangers. Instead of the beautiful pink cherry blossom trees, there were electricity pylons and tall looming chimneys pouring out their venomous smoke and polluting this once beautiful island. He knew no one in this village. His parents had long since passed away, and the children who had swum on the shore, teasing his friend the turtle, were old. In his sadness, Taro held on to this jeweled box that the princess had bestowed on him. He longed to be close to her again. And forgetting her warning, he undid the clasp and lifted the lid. Suddenly, a cloud of white smoke emerged from the box and engulfed Taro. His vision was obscured, and for a while he was blinded. But when the smoke cleared, he saw that he had transformed into an old, white-haired man. The soft voice trails away, and you find yourself sitting, still sitting on the soft, fluffy cushions. And instead of that jeweled box, you are still holding the bowl of sweet liquid as the dream fades away. The monk bows and reminds you that you are good enough. You are always good enough. You are what you are. The monk reminds you that in your earlier days, you knew nothing about the work that you are doing now. Nothing about the hobbies that you're engaging in. And just like others at the time, you started from scratch and learned how to do what you needed and wanted to do. learned from your elders and gradually picked up all these new skills. You became good at what you do and were appropriately rewarded for your efforts. Others worked alongside you in those earlier days, but not all of them achieved what you have achieved. He continues softly, telling you that this is because some people are further ahead, and you are one of these people. You were given your position because you had proved your worth in many different ways. And you deserve your success, and you are good enough. You are plenty good enough, and that's why you are here now. You are not an imposter. You are what you are, and your unconscious mind accepts this as your new reality. Yes, there are still important lessons to learn, and you are learning some of those lessons right now. Taro was one of those people who also earned his success. He was a good, kind person who looked after the people, the animals and sea creatures. And he was justly rewarded for all his hard work. Unlike Taro, you can begin to accept that you genuinely deserve the acclaim that you currently receive. There is no need for you to go back because you are happy where you are right now. You have been too critical of yourself and had no one to stop you from putting yourself down because they didn't know how you felt. The monk can see inside your soul and knows what you are feeling and thinking. The monk is no longer a monk, but is the anima and animus, your own collective unconsciousness that guides you in all that you do. As you realize that this entity is not really separate from you, but a part of who you are, all becomes clear and you realize you really are who you are. And that's all that matters. As you rest here in this comfortable state of hypnosis, listening to the sound of my voice, certain changes take place at a deeper level of awareness. You begin to quietly accept yourself and realize that you do deserve success because you have earned it. You earned it by unconsciously applying yourself to what you are doing. Even though you didn't realize you were doing this. You are not an imposter. You never were an imposter. That was the voice of self-doubt that is now banished from your head. And as you begin to accept who and what you are, you feel happier and stronger and allow your confidence to shine. A beautiful light shines from your heart and your soul. You know that you live as you live. You are as you are, and you accept this without question. All those self-doubts disappear in an instant, and your mind becomes clearer, and life becomes brighter for you and for those around who appreciate and love you because you are you. And these suggestions are firmly embedded in your subconscious mind and grow stronger and stronger day by day. They grow stronger by the day, stronger by the hour, stronger by the minute. In a moment, I will count the numbers from 1 to 5. And at the count of 5, I want you to come back to your normal conscious awareness with a smile on your face and a spring in your step as those old self-doubts are cast away. Far, far away, never to return. Are you ready? 1, 2, 3. Eyelids beginning to flicker. 4. Eyes opening. And 5. Eyes open and wide awake, seeing everything through crystal clear vision as those old self-doubts disappear over the horizon. Eyes open now, mind and body returning to normal conscious awareness.